The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, gang. Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. You're listening to Intellectual Medicine. Shannon has a day off. I gave her the day off. We have, Nick, we have four youth sport events today. And as we speak, they're dropping the ball in East Greenwich for a lacrosse match where my boy Ethan is he's a Tiger. He's playing long stick defense.
Wow.
So he'll be out there running around today. It's a beautiful thing, keeping the kids active, athletic. You guys remember those days. What fun it is standing on the sideline, watching your kid flying up and down the field. Learning good fellowship, good sportsmanship. You know, Nick, I was out with some buddies last night.
Yeah.
And we were talking about our high school memories of sports. And we'd forgotten the scores of most of the important games.
Yeah, same with me, pretty much.
Yeah, isn't that? But we, you know, we remember the events.
Yeah.
You know, the things that happened, the goofy stuff that occurred between the lines. On one game, football kickoff, my buddy went and he goes, I was going to slam that ball to the goal line. And he kicks a ball. It goes 10 yards. It goes 80 yards up in the air, a squib, bounces off the opposing player. My other friend recovers it, and we end up with a football. He runs up to him and goes, next time you do an onsides kick, he said, let me know. It wasn't an onsides kick. It was just a crappy kick. Now, I think my 14-year-old son said it best when I was talking to Josh, who plays football in East Greenwich. He goes, you know, Dad, at some schools, it's about the winning. He goes, here, it's just the experience. And I think you can speak to that.
It's
good. Especially when your team's, he was on the JV team, they didn't win a game all year.
Wow.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. You know, I'm really honored by the people who choose to listen to the show and your comments and feedback to me. I appreciate deeply. A lot of positive energy out there and a lot of gratitude for the topics that we cover. And of course, some people that have differing opinions and take exception to some of the opinions that we proffer here. I invite you all to be part of the conversation. This show is based upon my opinion of matters which come from my reading of literature and my clinical experience. And our intent is to broaden the conversation, to give listeners food for thought and options to consider moving forward. Now today, Nick, we're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease, neurodegenerative conditions in general, what can be done to help support quality of life in the face of those degenerative conditions. We're going to talk about fatigue. It really is a pox on the quality of life for so many people and elusive to treat. But of course, we must talk about the most important thing happening today.
Oh, boy.
It is. The book is now, it's now available in paperback. See, I'm holding it up. You can see me on the radio. And it's The Cancer Machine. This is a fiction novel, the first that I have published. And it's very exciting to have this book come off the press. It reads like real life. Many of the events really are drawn from my own experiences. It is pure fiction. If there are characters that happen to resemble certain individuals, it's a pure coincidence. But the action emanates from a source of truth. And that source of truth has to do with the clash between innovation and the standard barons who control power and want the status quo regardless of the outcome. That truth is playing out in the world today. You know, there was a recent March for Science. Nick, did you go to the March for Science?
I did not, but I do support it.
Well, we all support science. Who could not like Bill Nye the Science Guy, right?
I know, right?
You know, here's the problem, though, Nick. The March for Science is based on the premise that science is apolitical, meaning it doesn't favor any particular agenda, and that it is insular. It is its own truth. But that's not entirely true. What trumps science is philosophy. Man, I want to have a march for philosophy. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
You know, philosophy, the freedom to think and the freedom to interpret science based upon your philosophical belief. What we decide to research is philosophically driven. Are we going to research X or Y? That decision has a political base. Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to believe in it. Are we going to research the impact of vitamin C on cancer? Well, that's a philosophical decision. You know, there are people that when I say vitamin C and cancer in the same sentence, get up on their hindquarters, the claws come out, and their immediate thought is, my goodness, this is charlatanism. God forbid they pause and look at the scientific fact and direct research into the area. So I'll tell you a little vignette. I was talking to my colleagues. This is out in the University of Kansas at the National Conference for Intravenous Vitamin C. And these are serious researchers and clinicians that are seeking ways to alleviate human suffering right now, especially when it comes to the battle against cancer. They did what's known as a phase one study regarding pancreatic cancer. Now, a phase one study, folks, is the one to determine safety. You know, the most important thing in intellectual medicine when we're contemplating bringing the science to you, number one is safety. You know, is the potential for harm to occur? And if so, how great? So they did a phase one study, and they found that when given to patients who are receiving chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer, adding vitamin C intravenously was totally safe. They found something else interesting. The people getting the vitamin C for the pancreatic cancer felt better, and they seemed to be living longer. Now, they couldn't conclude that because the study wasn't engineered for that. But they took that information to the NIH, and they sought funding for a phase two study to try to start to look at efficacy. And they got the funding. Very exciting in the vitamin C community. We're going to get an outcome study. A few months later, a new drug, a patented pharmaceutical agent, came to market targeting pancreatic cancer. And the funding for vitamin C got pulled. And they said at the time, well, there's a new agent that can extend life, so we don't feel the urgency to research vitamin C in this setting. That new agent extended life by 3 months. Why not move forward with the research? It's funny, you know, when I'm out at these conferences, the people whisper in the hallway. It's almost like a speakeasy. We're afraid if we talk too loudly, somebody might hear us and do harm. So we're going to be talking about vitamin C, about the science over our journey together. But I want to point out this, and this is worthy of emphasis. The intent of intellectual medicine and our objective in practice is to help people live better and live longer, taking the scientific evidence and applying it toward the human condition. These are not FDA-approved treatments in most cases, and they are not, in many cases, intended to be a substitute for conventional care. But they are intended to broaden the vista. Broadening the vista, that's what we want to do, make things better. So we want to highlight a couple of good news stories, though, Nick.
More positive now?
Rhode Island's a beautiful state. It's got its issues.
Yes.
But we love it here. I love it here. And I love it here because it is safe. Do you realize that we are number 9 in the nation when it comes to crime?
Yeah, it is pretty safe.
The 9th safest. And part of the reason is because we have great police work. And now I'm talking about the Warwick Police Department. Did you hear about the standoff with an armed man in Warwick, Rhode Island?
I did.
He shot at the police. He was sitting there with a loaded weapon. Now, the police could have gone in there, and they could have killed him. I think that the fact he was shooting at the police and he was shooting at citizens would have justified lethal force. But, you know, these people must be exceptionally well-trained because they controlled the environment. They created a safety zone, and this poor, tortured soul was taken into custody alive. That is great police work. Kudos to Stephen McCartney and your entire force. It doesn't get enough attention. You know, if the building blew up and went down in flames, it would have been in national news. This deserves national news. Now, I want to focus on Providence as well. It seems to me, and I'm a new resident in Providence, as you know, Nick.
Yes.
And I'm loving it. And it's a beautiful city, and it seems very safe.
But for the most part, I'm getting
disturbing feedback. I was talking with one of our armed officers. And he was describing the circumstance because I was walking about Burnside Park.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we've been ordered to stand down. And if there are suspicious looking characters, we've been ordered not to intervene with them, you know, but just to stand in their way. He said, it's gotten so bad that I walk about and I'm being yelled at by groups of youths, some of them using profanity. I can't do anything. There's no support. Now we've got the Community Safety Act. You know, there may be issues between the public and the police in Providence. But the emphasis, or I should say the impetus for the Community Safety Act, came from reaction to issues occurring, quote, in other parts of the country, close quote. Now, I maintain that there are some elements that are anti-police, that are against the police department, that they see them as an extension of a coercive force, and that some of those elements are behind this type of legislation. It has not been adequately researched. It has not been adequately vetted. But it's politically appealing. So the city council panders to this vocal group and throws this up against the wall. It's time to bring the community and the police together on a regular, intermittent basis. How are we doing, Fred? I got to talk about this other UHIP thing. Got a couple minutes. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Parkinsonism. So Deloitte gave us. We got
gave us.
$27 million. $27 million credit in consideration of our troubles for their crappy program that's broken. And Governor Raimondo declares this as a sign of success. Now, up against the $364 million we have spent, that represents a 7% credit. Nick, you go to the restaurant, the soup comes out, there's a fly in it, and you complain to the waiter. He goes, great, I'll give you 7% off your bill. And you sip in your soup with a fly swirling around going, thank you. That's about the...
This, that's
folks,
what this is.
God, this is fly in the soup pandering. And it's not even a check in the mail. It's a credit.
That's one expensive soup.
It's a credit. You know, it means, you know, you guys have a credit. You want to come back and get more Deloitte products? We'll discount them. Good Lord. Stop paying these criminals. The federal government is researching nefarious undertakings, investigating false claims for payment. There's something going on behind the scenes. $364 million, it has cost us $17 million in the state in excess expense directly because of the failed program. $70 million if you include the federal expense. We should not be taking this stupid credit. We should be suing them for the full amount. Now, I don't know what we were doing before they put the stupid computer in,
yeah,
but let's take that $364 million and put it to work for Rhode Islanders instead of lining the pockets of Deloitte and whoever else got paid. Now, I'm tired of this, trying to make a failure look like a success. Until we are suing Deloitte and getting every penny back, anything less than that is a failure of action on the part of our government. Now, we're going to come back in a moment. We're going to be talking to a hero of mine. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to be talking about Parkinsonism, about fatigue, about the world we live in. I'm Dr. Pedderudi. This is Intellectual Medicine.
You call into the show now, Intellectual Medicine, 401-456-8... Sorry, wrong numbers here. Toll free, 1-800-321-WPRO, 438-9776-WPRO. That's the other radio station. I was starting reading the numbers.
That's good. I like you promoting the other radio station,
yeah,
Nick. Yeah.
I'm so used to reading two other numbers.
Hey, Nick, you know the topic is on neurodegenerative disease? Man, I want to see you at my office after the show. I think you... Too many wires are crossing.
Oh, I know.
You know, I actually thought, though, instead of doing our regular format, I thought that I would just read from my book for the next half hour, Nick. What do you think?
audio book on the radio?
Audio book on the radio. We're going to talk about Anton Thresher, Chapter 1. Now, it's a great book, but it's not meant for radio reading. I should do an audio version. You know,
that would be interesting.
I am.
But audio versions are really long. Yeah. That's a lot of work to do it.
Yeah, I'll get to it. But, you know, you can buy this book, go to Amazon, and you Google Dr. Pedderudi, and it'll pop up. You can have it mailed to your home. And, yes, folks, there will be some public book signings in the future. We'll keep you up to date on that. Now, my next guest is one of my heroes, and I want to salute, through Dave Browning and his service to the people of Rhode Island, all of the noble civil servants. You know, you hear a lot about state workers, sometimes in disparaging terms. And I take exception to that. You know, a lot of these folks, they're hard-working people. They want to serve you well. They are the face of the state to the public, and Dave Browning was that face for many, many years. A tough guy. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And at a time when he was suffering with his disease, we would see Dave come into our office, sometimes drained of energy. And that son of a gun kept going to work and kept going to work and kept going to work. And he brought to his life and to others, and the reason we have him on today, Dave, welcome to the show. You're such an inspiration, brother. Thanks for being with me.
Good morning, doctor.
Well, Dave, I thought that it would be helpful to others that are struggling with conditions that are progressive. I mean, when you hear it, how did you feel back when the diagnosis was first given to you that you had Parkinson's disease, that there is no cure and that it will get worse? How did that hit you?
I felt like a bomb had gone off.
Yeah. How long ago did that bomb go off, Dave?
2010.
Wow. And when you first were diagnosed, Dave, what were the symptoms?
Well, I had the stutter step and weakness, and it affected my whole core, body core.
Yeah. Now, when you heard that and the bomb went off, what were you fearing for your future? What were you thinking was going to happen?
I've got young kids, I've got grandkids, and you just think that your life's going to end, you know?
Yeah, it's a hard fate to face. How are you feeling now? It's been several years since 2010. You've been living with this disease, Dave, and I know, when did you retire from work?
Last year.
So for 7 years, roughly, you went to work every day despite your diagnosis.
Towards the end, yeah, I was having trouble with getting back and forth to work, but I did.
God bless you. I know you did, because I watched it happen, Dave. We go back many years, my friend, and you are one tough son of a gun. Folks, if you're listening, we have Dave Browning, who's living with Parkinsonism. Tell us about some of the things that we've done at Intellectual Medicine and the ways in which that has had an effect.
Well, all the medications and stuff that I've been taking pretty much was standard stuff, but I'm just trying to hold on. That's all. Stay level, I guess.
How's your energy level doing?
My energy level's good because I've been taking vitamins and stuff, plus the B12 and testosterone's helped out a lot also.
Now you're an independent guy. You're still driving.
Yes, I'm still driving. I look a little funny walking by. If you see a guy hunched over walking by, it's me. So
I'll tell you, if you see a guy hunched over walking by, you salute him. If it's Dave Browning. Dave, it's remarkable the way that you have sustained your independence for 7 years working despite the Parkinson's disease. And in many ways, I think, Dave, you're a role model for others. How's your spirit now? What are you thinking about the quality of life that you have currently?
Well, my quality of life has been fine. My spirits are a lot better because I've got, I'm staying even. I'm not losing. And I feel like I'm going to be able to hang on for a while. That's the way I feel right now.
Well, Dave, we love you. We want you to keep hanging on because you're one of the good men. And it's a wonderful thing when you've got a disease that is progressive and you're hanging on and you don't feel a sense of progression. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in Intellectual Medicine.
Thank you, Doc. Stay tuned.
You're welcome. Folks, that was Dave Browning. He's battling Parkinsonism. And in addition to the great care he's getting from his conventional neurologist, I want to emphasize that. You know, the avenue of treatment available through Intellectual Medicine is not either or when it comes to conventional therapies of known merit. But we know that Parkinsonism drags people down. At Intellectual Medicine, we have found supplementing patients with hormonal support, an intravenous vitamin and intravenous glutathione can help support their energy and their vitality. This is not a treatment for Parkinsonism, but rather, this is supporting your well-being and the patient's sense of energy, hopefulness, and function. Our patients that are on this pathway have had greater periods of stability than we believe they otherwise would possess.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hi, everybody. I am back. It's Dr. Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine from the voice of Southern New England, WPRO, the cradle of intellectual living in Rhode Island, the station for thinking people and for thinking hosts and for thinking producers back there, Nick. Great
yes.
job, buddy.
Thank you.
Now, you're not going to be here next week. Where are you going to be?
Well, the next 2 weeks are graduation events and then the actual graduation on the Saturday, 2 weeks from now.
That's a beautiful thing, you
yes.
know. Congratulations, Nick, really. It's,
thank you. I appreciate it.
How hard you're working, you know, to get through school and how well you perform while in school and in your job, spinning multiple plates. Folks, there's no replacement for a hard work ethic. There's no amount of subsidy that can fire that engine. And Nick is going to go places in life. Just remember us little people, Nick, as you're going forward in life.
Remember, I will try to.
Remember how nice I am to you all
yes.
the time? You know, it's like a few years from now, like in my next life when I'm like in that Section 8 housing in Olneyville Towers and I'm like looking for my next meal. Right? Okay.
So I will remember.
So remember, folks, the book is out, The Cancer Machine. And here's a quick excerpt from the back cover. Then we're going to talk about brains. A medical student discovers a cure for cancer, but if he wants to share it with the world, he will have to dodge assassins, corrupt executives, and the long arm of the pharmaceutical industry. That's from the fiction book, The Cancer Machine, available at Amazon. And if it sounds like real life, it's because it is. Sometimes life mimics art. What we do at Intellectual Medicine is really a little revolutionary. We take evidence and we apply it to the human condition ahead of the curve that conventional medicine is comfortable with sometimes. And yeah, that triggers criticisms, Nick. Some people don't like that. They're very dogmatic. They're petrified in their patterns of care.
Yes.
It's the standard. And if you deviate from it, then a pox onto your house. Well, the standard of care, folks, for neurodegenerative diseases is wholly inadequate. Sitting idly by, watching brains corrupt and corrode, it's horrible. There are things we can do to support vitality and functional attributes. We're going to talk on the next section when I get a moment. We're going to talk about fatigue. The lack of energy is depressing. It robs people of their joy in living. And it is most pronounced in folks with degenerative neurologic conditions like Parkinsonism and Alzheimer's. The complaint I hear is that of lost vitality. The fear is not death. The fear is disability and the lack of being able to be contributory to those you love. And you heard it from Dave Browning. When he got that diagnosis, it hit him like a ton of bricks, like a bomb went off, he said. What's my future going to be? Folks, hang in there. Fight through the depression. When you reacclimate and you connect to positive living and you connect to positive therapeutics that can support your energy, you can live a high-quality life. Dave Browning is driving his car 8 years after his diagnosis. He has advanced Parkinson's disease. He's the beneficiary of some of the best neurologic care the country has to offer. We do have some of the finest neurologists in the nation practicing right in Rhode Island. Unfortunately, there is no cure for Parkinsonism. And unfortunately, the treatment can help to blunt the symptoms of tremor, but doesn't restore the full body of energy. Now, we know that the brain is the cradle of your immune system. And as the brain degrades, your immune system weakens. Folks with Parkinsonism and Alzheimer's frequently die from infection. That's what takes them out. And before the infection hits, they get sick a lot. We at Intellectual Medicine endeavor to support immune function through the thoughtful application of intravenous vitamins and substances, as well as oral supplement. Remember the first rule. Make sure it's safe. The second, is there scientific evidence of potential merit? And the third criteria we use, is there any clinical evidence of its potential benefit, either in animal studies or in case studies of humans? We do not wait for the double-blind placebo-controlled study. That is not quick enough to serve people like Dave Browning. So IV vitamins, absolutely. The GI system doesn't work as well in many patients with this condition. Sometimes they lose their interest in food. Their micronutrient environment can plummet, accelerating their weakness. The mitochondria, those are the little power packs of the cell that drive energy. They are starved. How much of that energy loss is from the primary neurologic disease, and how much of it is from the secondary consequence of poor nutritional support and poor hormonal support? So now we have IV nutrients going. Now we get the hormones going. Why not? Because they have been shown to help build muscle. You know, they call them performance-enhancing drugs, Nick.
Yes.
Right? Hell yeah. I want my performance enhanced. Why not? I'm not competing with the Patriots. You know, if it's safe and it's got to be used in a tempered manner, it's got to be monitored. Absolutely. It keeps power in the limbs, which generates the ability to get up out of your chair and walk. That's a difference maker for many people.
It doesn't sound all that bad all the time.
Not at all, man. You can get up out of that chair. It's a prelude to death if you got a rock to stand. You ever see those people?
Yes.
And then, I'm up. You know, hey, you know what?
When there's a sound buildup, it's not good.
If you got a sound buildup, right, go out and spend your money, dude, because there ain't a whole lot of days on the calendar coming your way. This is what we endeavor to prevent. Falling is a consequence of weakness in many cases. So you get on the hormonal therapy. What about if you're 80? What about if you're 70? Why not live your best life? Be a Dave Browning. You know, be positive and look for things that can help. Now, there's another thing that we do. It's high-dose intravenous glutathione. Glutathione is one of the most powerful antioxidants known to medicine. It is a natural substance that your body makes every day. It neutralizes free radicals. Free radicals are pro-inflammatory molecules that bang around your body, degrading it and doing it harm. And they accelerate neurodegeneration. One of the primary theories of dementia and neurocognitive corrosion is excessive free radicals. Now, picture the scenario, right? You've got a chronic disease, you've got Parkinsonism, you've got Alzheimer's. What happens in the face of chronic disease is the free radical load accelerates, and it builds up momentum. Well, you can't get enough antioxidants in you. You don't have a capacity to absorb them. We give them intravenously. Whether or not that is going to affect the ultimate outcome of Parkinsonism is an unknown variable. There are no studies showing benefit long-term with regard to the disease state itself. But it's a logical extension, it's inexpensive, and it's extraordinarily safe to give intravenous glutathione in super high doses so that we can neutralize free radical. Dave Browning can tell you that he feels as good today as he did a year ago. I talked to him the other day, he said he feels 50% more energy.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. A disease that should be progressively degrading him, and as he said, he's holding steady. He's not the only one. I have a patient of mine with dementia. She has Alzheimer's, and her son brings her to me in part for occasional hormonal support. And the purpose is to maintain her function, her strength, support immune function. The folks in nursing homes, they die of infection. They suffer inadequacies of mobility. This is what we're after, folks. There are ways that the brain can be supported, the ways that the brain can be enhanced, and there are ways that your quality of life can always be addressed. At Intellectual Medicine, that's our thought pursuit. Is it safe? Does it have scientific validity? And the other thing, is it affordable, right? This is not New York, LA medicine, folks. This is Rhode Island support anti-aging. So we've got these pathways available. If there are ways that we can help people, it's really... When we see Dave come to our office and other of our patients like him, everybody in the office gets a jolt of happiness. When you see them holding on for the quality of life, it's an inspiration. Dave Browning, a civil servant to the core. For 7 years, the dude dragged himself into work to serve the people of Rhode Island. He didn't have to do that. He could have taken a powder. Dave could have been in Florida. He was here working, and he's still here. It's a great thing. The other part of brain preservation is anticipatory preservation. So protecting your brain now so it's less likely to degrade. Now, it's come into vogue to do genetic testing. And the genetic testing, like 23andMe, is interesting. Right? Who doesn't want to know about their ancestry and such?
Exactly.
They have those interests. You ever notice those ancestry things? They go back to find your coat of arms and see what your ancestors were. I don't want to do that, Nick. You know why?
Why?
Because the Petterudis were stone-breaking peasants.
You don't want to be reminded?
I'm going to go back. It's not going to, what? Like, you're great, great, great. You go back far enough, and you are the descendant of a king.
Yeah.
Oh, descendant of a knuckle-dragging peasant from Rocamonfina who was busting rocks. I'm very grateful to be in Rhode Island in America. If I were still in Rocamonfina, I'd be growing mushrooms. I don't know, but anyhow, my point here, I don't know where I got, my point here is genetics do not dictate your outcome. There's no gene for Parkinsonism. There are genes that may predispose, but this and other neurodegenerative diseases are the result of degradation over time. Lead, heavy metals corrode your brain. If you're young and healthy and hearing my voice, get that evaluated. Alcohol, excessive toxic amounts, free radical damage, flying in an airplane frequently. All these things are like sandpaper corroding the brain over time. Finally, if you're above 40, attention to hormone support. There's more evidence that the lack of hormones will accelerate brain degradation. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about fatigue, because that connects to brains. So keep your brain with you. Keep your energy up. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is WPRO. Come back after the break, folks. Never can.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Small Business Saturdays with John Laughlin. Tune in to the John Laughlin Show this morning during his new time slot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join John as he talks about local retail and small business in our community with Little Falls Bakery in Cranston at 11, brought to you by Navigant Credit Union, NavigantCU.org, and WPRO.
All right, Nick, I'm back. Nick, you know, I love the John Laughlin Show, but you got to kill that song. That kills me.
They never could say goodbye.
Oh, I don't know.
It makes you feel like it's the end here.
I don't know what it makes me feel like. I want to see like bubbles coming out of a bubble machine or something. Yeah, tune in to John Laughlin. He's a cool guy. Maybe we'll be talking about this missile that the North Koreans splashed into the ocean yet again. We don't have a take on that. We're going to have a guest perhaps next week who's a high-ranking retired military officer, and we're going to be talking about health in the terms of warfare, and I think it's a cool topic. But but first, I do want to talk about fatigue. But folks, you know, we got to come back to it. We have to come back to it because it's too important. You know, the structural foundation of Rhode Island's economy is weak. We lost jobs in the last interval. There are 24,000 Rhode Islanders looking for jobs, not to mention the number of those who are underemployed with inadequate income. So far, our idea of economic revival has been to dole out lumps of cash to select businesses, splash it across the front of the paper, and say, look, we're turning it around. Nonsense. Every time you give money to a company to do a development project, you are harming his competitor who got nothing. So splashed over the paper, they're giving money to a project on Dorrance. They're going to renovate apartments and put in retail. That's great. How about the poor son of a gun who's renovating a three-family tenement? He's getting EGOTs. It's just not good policy, and it's not fair, and it will not grow the economy. We need structural change. Now we're looking at this tuition subsidy that they're being touted. Folks, this is nothing more than the National Party using Rhode Island as an experimental test tube to see if it'll win votes. Evidence of that, the Democratic National Committee chairman, Tom Perez, flew into Rhode Island to promote the virtue of this program. He doesn't give a shit about Rhode Island. He's just looking to see if he's going to win votes. And let's experiment with Gina Raimondo in this tiny state that doesn't matter. We don't care if it wrecks them. So they're talking about $30 million for the first year. Isn't that about right, Nick?
Yes.
All right. So let's go out on a limb and say it might come in over budget. So say it's $40 million the first year. Take it out 10 years, put in a 10% growth factor as people catch on that it's out there. We're talking, folks, about a subsidy, free money, college welfare to the tune of $600 to $700 million.
It's a lot.
It is a subsidy that you will have to pay for in the future. And you know it's only for 2 years, right, Nick?
Yes, of course.
So here's one of the bizarre elements of it. You come out of CCRI. You got your 2 years of tuition for free. You got a 3.9 grade average. You're a star, and you want to continue your education. But you got no money because the subsidy ran out. The next thing that's going to happen is they're going to look to upgrade the subsidy so that you can finish your studies. Folks, this is colossal nonsense. At URI, they broke ground on the new engineering facility. Thanks to you, the loving taxpayer citizen of Rhode Island who voted the bond in. You know, we are all for education. We are all for thoughtful programs that have tangible results. Thus, The engineering facility at URI will be a point of pride for every citizen in the state, but it will not be a point of pride to give away money to mediocre students. I'd rather see a $600 million bond passed to develop all the secondary schools, new high schools across the whole state, except for those that are already brand new. But anyhow, we got to talk about brain and fatigue, Nick, because maybe some of these legislatures are working too hard, and they need to come to intellectual medicine and get a little IV boost, a little power pack to give them some energy so they can think more clearly. One of the most common symptoms we see is fatigue. And it goes something like this. You know, Doc, I'm feeling drained. I'm really tired. You know, and I used to be able to go all day. Now I get home, I sit in my chair, and I just about pass out. The things I used to be able to do, I don't seem capable of. They do a workup, and they'll say, well, you know, you are getting older. You know, you are gaining age. You know, if anybody, any clinician, uses age as a diagnostic reason for the way you feel or for elements such as the lack of energy, it's worthy of getting another opinion. Look at Dave Browning. If he had accepted his low energy state as a consequence strictly of his Parkinsonism, he would have never sought other pathways of care that have enhanced his quality of life. So we get a label, and the label is called chronic fatigue, or it's called fibromyalgia, or it's called fill in the blank, and you feel lousy. And you get frustrated because there doesn't appear to be any remedy. You try eating better. You try different sleep cycles. You try taking vitamins. And yet the energy is still bereft. The problem is that there is no onus on treating a non-disease state such as I don't feel good, my energy is down. What we have found is people respond to an analytical approach, an intellectual medicine approach, looking at the hormonal support, the micronutrient support, and when you get the right mix of hormones, intravenous vitamins, bang, it's like turning the lights out. The beauty of what we do and what intellectual medicine is about is you can tell if it's working. You know, folks come back not because of some shallow placebo. It's because it works. Muscle mass grows. Brain sharpens. The brain runs on hormones. Taking oral vitamins sometimes does not get it done. We talked earlier about glutathione intravenously and the merit it can bring. The same holds true for those micronutrients and vitamins. They go right through the bloodstream, right into the brain, right into the cell. So fatigue, 15% of the nation is chronically fatigued every day. If you think you're tired because you're getting older and you're working too hard, think again. You always worked hard. Nick works hard. Tony DeJesus works hard, the hardest working man in the bug industry. And that dude's got more energy than 10 people. He's up next, the Big Blue Bug Solutions. We love him, even though he's wearing a New York Yankees cap. That's right, I outed him on air. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine, folks. We're loving Rhode Island. Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.